Doug Williams joins us again here on Sports Byline USA. Of course, the fine coach at Grambling, his alma mater, and the former NFL quarterback for the Buccaneers and the Washington Redskins. And with the Redskins, of course, in Super Bowl number 22, he won a Super Bowl championship. You know, Doug, you remind me of that great line from the Godfather movie. Every time I think I'm out of it, they pull me back in. You're back.
Well, that's a good way to be. That's kind of like getting off the turf every time you get knocked down.
What is it that brought you back to your alma mater?
Well, you know what? You know, I had been in Tampa for 6 years. I've met with Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder during the Super Bowl, and actually was headed back to work in Washington. And the coach at Grambling decided that after signing day, that he was going to go back to North Carolina, and all the alumnus, James Harris, the Willis Reed, and Henry Dyer, and Charlie Joyner, and Willie Davis, you know, they all got on the telephone and asking me to think about going back to Grambling. And it became an easy choice, Ron, because, you know, I had two brothers to go there. I went there, two daughters to graduate from there. My wife graduated from there. Her mom and dad graduated, so it was such a connection. and then you get an opportunity to go back home.
Doug, how long had you been away from when did you leave coaching the first time?
7 years.
7 years. Do you notice much change on the campus or in the football program?
Well, I think the biggest change, to be honest with you, when I got back is the administration, not the same administration that you left, and probably gave you a little more respect. Coming back, you almost have to earn it back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You left on a good note. You know, the program was in good hands. You left good players. Coming back, you almost got to reassess and earn the same respect you had when you was there.
I ask that question because, as you know, the landscape in college football is changing and has changed over the last couple of years. And I'm just wondering what you note about college football, about kind of the pressures. There's always pressure on a coach to win, but there seems to be more pressure on them to be in the right conference and to produce the right amount of revenue.
Let me say this. Unfortunately, you know, I would love to have some of that pressure from a standpoint if I was at one of the major Division I schools. But being at Grambling, some of the pressure that they get is kind of unlike what we go through because, you know, we don't have that pressure to go to the BCS Bowl and you got to win. I mean, everybody got to win, but it's not as much pressure. And when you come to recruiting, you know, like being where I am, I don't play against LSU, so I'm not out there competing against LSU, Alabama, and Arkansas for players. My job is that I recruit the people that I do play. So from that standpoint, the pressure of what you got to do at Grambling is a little different at the schools in the SEC.
When you walk into a recruit's house, what is your pitch to them since, again, you are not LSU, Florida, or Notre Dame?
Well, you know, number one, you know, I walk in and the kids might not know who I am, but 9 out of 10 the parents would. And you sit there and you sell Grambling, you sell history, you sell legacy, you sell the people that had an opportunity to play at Grambling, and you get an opportunity to go to Grambling, not only play football, but leave that with a degree. Those are things that we try to sell. Now, if I walk in the kid's house and LSU has been there, I'm going to shake his hand, his mom, dad hand, and give him a card and tell him, you know, if anything changes, give me a call.
You know, I've got a smile on my face, Doug, because I have this image of you going in and pitching a kid, and he's got this glazed look across his face, you know, and you turn to his dad and say, by the way, do you have any eligibility left?
You do. You know, my thing is, you'd be surprised how many young guys that we recruit, you know, sometimes say, hey, man, I'm on the telephone. I say, you know who Doug Williams is? They say, no. And then I say, well, I'm Googleable. Google me.
What?
And, you know, and then next time you talk to them, they say, man, I didn't know who that was. He said, I knew it was a black quarterback who won the Super Bowl, but I didn't know it was the coach at Grambling. And we've been fortunate to pull some off because of the parents.
What question do you find, Doug, kids are asking you this time around as compared to, say, even when you began coaching at Grambling? Well, what are the kids asking as far as when it comes to football questions today?
Well, you know, they want to know what's my chances of going to National Football League. And Ron, to be honest with you, I try not to recruit a kid with the idea he going to National Football League because I think that's an unfair gesture to tell a kid. You know, I know you can do that at some Division I schools or what have you, but we don't want to do that because if a kid gets to a certain point in his career and not playing well, then he's going to look back at you and say, well, you told me I had a chance to go to National Football League. What I try to tell them, they're going to get a chance to play, go to class, they can go to church while they're there. If they play well enough, the chips will fall where they may, and they might have a chance to play at the next level.
You know, Doug, you bring up a very interesting point. I talked some players, African-American players, that came out of the small colleges, and I remember even talking to Jerry Rice about this,
right. Going
to Mississippi Valley State. There was a time, as you know, in the National Football League, if you went to a small black school, you were going to be awfully lucky to really get a good C from anybody in the NFL. Has that changed? Does it matter whether you go to Grambling or whether you go to any small college across this country? You're still, if you're good, going to be found by the NFL?
Well, you're going to be found, but I don't think it's as fair as it should be. And I say this, and some people might not agree with me. I had a young man this year who actually was off the chart, Ron. Kid had 51 receptions for 1,159 yards and 8 TDs. You know, couldn't get the kid in either one of the All-Star game, which is the East-West or what have you. Couldn't get the kid in the combine, but yet and still, you know, I talked to a couple of scouts, and the first thing they said is, you know, he got a good chance of being drafted. Well, you know, a kid with those kind of stats, when I look at some of the guys that, you know, have to spend 6 years with Tampa and going to combine every year, and you look at some of the guys you bring in there, and you can't bring this kid who deserved to be there in there, you know, something wrong with that pitcher. You know, I don't think you get as much respect as they should, but for sure, you know, you got scouts. I had a couple of scouts call me today on my players. You know, a couple of scouts want to know my players, and then they want to talk about some of the other players that we played against, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's kind of unfair when you don't give them the same opportunity that you give guys at the big school.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Doug, that you bring that up, because if you think about receivers like a Wes Welker in the National Football League and the type of career he has had, and he was not highly thought of either, what is it? What is the element that's happening that these kids with that type of stats, you know, when you said 51 passes for over 1,100 yards, I did the math in my head. What was his average per catch?
About 1,159 yards is about 28 yards per catch.
That would get my attention if I'm a scout.
Right. Yeah. It should. You know, just like the young kid up at the play with the Colts.
Right.
What's his name? Gazan. Got some funny name.
Yeah.
But that kid went to a very small Division III school. See, with a kid like this kid I had, put those kind of numbers, I would certainly not want to miss on him.
No, I wouldn't want to either. What is it that a coach can do today for a kid if he's talented and he doesn't think that maybe, you know, the scouts are going to take a good hard look at him? Is there anything a coach can do to get their attention for this kid?
Well, number one, you know, what I try to do, I made a lot of highlight videos of this kid and just send it to him. You know, because sometimes the scouts don't do the homework. They listen to other people and say, you know, they only got this, they only got that. But I think once some of the other people get a chance to sit down and watch the tape and look at this kid, you're going to say, man, this kid got something with him. You know, and one of my good friends is, you know, John Gruden. And matter of fact, I just got his address to send him a tape of this kid. And I want his opinion. I know what he's going to say when he sees him. He want to know where he's at, you know, because this kid can play at the next level.
You know, I remember the Super Bowl that you were the MVP of. It was Super Bowl 22. It was down in San Diego. You completed 18 of 29 passes against Denver for 340 yards and 4 touchdowns. But what I remember the most, and I know you're going to laugh about this, was the media day and the question that you got asked by a member of the media. It is always at the highlight of stupid questions asked by members of the media down at the Super Bowl. You remember the one?
I do, and you know what? And when I think about it, and I know what he was trying to, the question that he was trying to get over, how long, I'm giving him benefit of the doubt, and I think he wanted to know how long that all the emphasis had been put on me being a black quarterback, and it just didn't come out right.
No, it was the question for those people around the world. He was asked, "Was how long have you been a black quarterback?" and I never understood. Have we moved beyond that with the Cam Newtons and the other?
I really do. Yeah. I think we've gone past it. You know, I always say when I talk to James Harris and we talk about that, one of the things that we talk about is the fact that we have removed the adjective of black. And now they're just quarterbacks. You know, Cam Newton is a quarterback. RG3 is a quarterback.
Right.
And not a black quarterback. You know, they're not talking about Baylor's black quarterback getting a chance to be the top two pick. They talk about RG3 getting a chance to be top two picks.
When you take a look at RG3 and you also take a look at Luck and compare their styles, what do you see as a quarterback looking at these two?
Well, I think you see two talented quarterbacks, you know. In my opinion, I think you can go either way. You know, Luck has been out in the front for probably longer than RG has. So, therefore, you know, people are going to tend to go with Luck as the safe pick and a good player. But I'm surely think that a lot of people are going to take a chance on RG3, just like they did Cam Newton. You know, unfortunately, you know, Cam Newton did not get the praise that he should have got last year. There was a whole lot of negative what he can't do. And, you know, anytime you talk about call the guy smile phony, you know, something wrong with that picture.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think part of the reason, too, Doug, for that was the fact that he came out early. Also, he was a quarterback that didn't start underneath the center. Everything was from the shotgun. And I think there were some legitimate questions about his ability. But I really thought that after the first six games, those questions should have been answered. Am I correct in that observation?
Oh, ain't no doubt. I think everybody look at Cam Newton from a totally different perspective. Because what Cam Newton showed you that I really don't need my leg just to play this game. I can do it from the pocket. But I'm going to use them when I have to.
And, you know, I may be wrong about this, but I don't know that I've ever seen two quarterbacks coming into the National Football League that are together, meaning all together as far as ability as well as maturity, the right attitude. I listened to the press conferences of RG3, and Doug, he blows me away. Andrew Luck, who I sit here in San Francisco, have had a chance to watch him as well. His dad, of course, was a quarterback. So
I know Oliver.
Yeah, Oliver and everything. So, I mean, I've never seen two guys that are as complete already at this point, never even having played in the NFL.
Well, you know, they've been in some good situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look at RG3 and Oliver, I mean, not Oliver.
Andrew.
You know, Andrew, you know, I almost put him in the same category of a young, to be honest with you, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I saw LeBron high school interview, I thought he would be young as he is right then.
Yeah.
I mean, they handle the press as well as anybody, whether or not you've got no years in the league or 10 years in the league.
Where do you have your Super Bowl ring at? Do you wear it or do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not one to wear it every day, but basically what I do, I do a lot of opportunities to go to banquets and go to talk to kids and things like that. You know, when you go to visit those kids and they see that ring, man, the thing you got on the fact that they figured you can just go out there and get one of them things. they don't understand the work and the headaches and the blood and the tears and everything you had to share to get that.
When you look down at that ring, we got about a minute left. When you look down at that ring and see it, what is the thing that comes to Doug Williams' mind?
Well, the road that I had to travel in order to get to where I was. You know, a lot of people wouldn't understand that, but I always say that I traveled roads that was less traveled.
And it was a difficult road, was it not?
Oh, it was more than difficult. But you know what? Coach Rob and my dad, all of them instilled things into me, and especially Coach Rob, used to always tell me, he said, "Hell, cat, it ain't how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get up."
Absolutely right. You know, I think about him so often. He touched so many people in so many ways. And one of my favorite interviews in our library is the interview with Eddie Robinson. And every football season, I find a way to play it. Doug, I want to thank you very much, my friend. It's always nice to stay in touch with you. And we'll talk to you just before the start of the season. Get your thoughts on your Grambling squad coming up this year.
Well, thanks for having me on, Ron. Certainly appreciate it.
Take care. Doug Williams, fine coach at Grambling, back for a second tour at Grambling. And, of course, he was there the first time. He took over for Eddie Robinson. He led the Tigers to three consecutive Southwestern Athletic Conference titles. We continue with more of you at Sports Byline.